All right, our next presentation will be on carbon capture and sequestration permitting and contract issues. Our presenter is Thomas Weber. He's a partner in McElroy Sullivan Miller and Weber LLP, where he's been there since 1995. He has a short stint where he was the interim deputy chief of staff for a member of the U.S. House of Representatives in 2004 through 2005. He practices energy, environmental, and natural resources law in Texas state federal courts and before the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, the Railroad Commission of Texas, the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and several other federal and state agencies and groundwater conservation districts. When he's not practicing law, he enjoys hiking, camping, fishing, and traveling with his wife and two college-age children. Mr. Thomas Weber.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Paul, for the kind introduction. I want to give a quick shout-out to my law partner, Paul Tuff, who co-authored this paper with me. If you don't know Paul, he's one of the, I think, one of the top regulatory lawyers in the state, and I'm proud that he's my partner. It was a nice introduction to carbon sequestration from Peter and his excellent presentation, but whereas Peter focused on property rights and contractual issues, I'm going to focus on the regulatory aspect of it. I first started working on carbon sequestration back in about 2010. And at that time, there were a lot of uncertainties. The 45Q tax credit, that's the main federal tax credit for that promotes or incentivizes carbon sequestration, had only recently been enacted. I can't remember what the top credit was. I think it was $20 per ton, something like that, $10 to $20 per ton. The Class 6 regulations had only recently been adopted by EPA, Class 6 being the primary classification of injection well for permanent sequestration of CO2 or carbon oxides. And there hadn't been any Class 6 permits issued at that time. So a lot has happened since then. First in the first Trump administration and then in the Biden administration, the tax credit, the federal tax credit, was increased twice and significantly increased. I think today, haven't checked in a few weeks, but I think there have been 8 Class 6 permits issued by EPA. And at least that many, probably more, by the three states that have primacy, North Dakota, Wyoming, and Louisiana. Primacy just being, you know, the state's application to the federal government to administer a particular program. And in this case, it's the UIC, Underground Injection Control Class 6 program. Quick note on that. It's my understanding that Texas's Class 6 primacy application is in phase 3. And there are 4 phases in the primacy application process. So in phase 3, you're essentially, the application's now with EPA headquarters in D.C. And the next step will be, you know, publishing the rules and the program for comment, and then there'll be a public meeting. It's my understanding EPA's actually looking for locations for the public meeting in Austin. Like I mentioned, there's 8 or so that have been approved, but more importantly, there's probably a couple hundred applications for Class 6 wells on file with EPA and or those states, and several more on the cusp of being approved. So today I'm going to focus, I'm not a tax lawyer, I'm more on the regulatory litigation and do some transactional work, but as part of having a practice that deals with carbon sequestration, I have become familiar with the 45Q IRS regulations. I've spoken to IRS a number of times, been involved in filing comments. We had been expecting more guidance from the Biden administration towards the end of last year. I don't believe it came out, and so we still have some uncertainties out there. But each year that goes by is the...